Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dishing with Digest. I'm Stephanie Sloan, editorial director, here with Mara Levinsky, senior editor.
Hi, everyone.
Well, Mara, Taylor and Ridge's wedding on Bold and Beautiful may have been pulled together quickly, but it wasn't short on fireworks in terms of what we've seen so far. So I love that, once again, Douglas was the catalyst for a big secret coming out, and this time he spilled the beans to Steffi that Thomas used his voice app to call Child Protective Services and pretend to be Brooke. So what did Steffi do? She didn't hold her peace. And I imagine the ripple effects will be massive for Ridge, Taylor, Brooke, Thomas, Steffi, Hope, etc. I mean, Ridge will not be thrilled to realize that he broke up with Brooke because he thought Brooke lied to him, and now Taylor is the one who really did. Oh, does this umbrella story have a lot of legs, and I am here for it. Now, speaking of romantic entanglements, we're going to see Sally and Adam reconnect on Young and the Restless after his big marriage proposal, which will leave her future with the brothers Newman in question. And GH also has a huge week, and you have the scoop on that.
That's right. It's bittersweet because we have come to the final chapter of Emma Sams's return to GH's Holly. Bitter because I'm not ready to say goodbye. Sweet because, oh my goodness, there is going to be a lot of action before it's a wrap on Holly. So Victor has given Holly a mission, which is to steal the necklace from Robert and deliver it to him. But let's just say that as simple as that may seem on the surface, there are a whole lot of obstacles for her to navigate. We will see some pretty intense scenes between Holly and Laura as part of that. And when Holly seeks refuge in a cabin, the authorities are hot on her heels, Robert included, and the story comes to a wild climax when there is a huge explosion. Emma told me that she was not physically on the set when the detonation occurred, but that she could not only hear it from her dressing room, she could also feel it. So I think it's fair to say that that is going to be an exciting, twisty, turny event filled week on GH. And not only that, but thanks or no thanks to preemptions, we will see the Quartermains celebrate Thanksgiving next week. And I don't think I'm giving too much away when I say the odds of them finally getting their drama-free turkey dinner are not so great. But I definitely think it will be fun to see just how disaster strikes this year.
Oh, it always is. And I love that that is a common theme. Now, we have a super fun roundup in the new issue. We asked stars who watched soaps before they joined them who they were fans of. And I just loved everybody's responses. I mean, needless to say, like me, we had some Luke and Laura enthusiasts in Days' Stacey Heideck, who plays Kristen and Susan, GH's own Laura Wright, of course, Carly, and Michael E. Knight, who plays Martin and is also playing Laura's brother. Now, Days' Ariane Zucker loved Salem's Jennifer and Frankie. So did I. And she actually ended up working with both of them, which I think is pretty funny. And Young and the Restless's Melissa Claire Egan, who plays Chelsea, was into All My Children's Adam and Erica. And then she wound up marrying Adam when she played AMC's Annie, which I think is a great full circle moment.
Absolutely. Now, another fun feature in the new issue that I think will put a smile on readers' faces is a special section looking back at some of the many couples who met on set. I am a sucker for a real life couple, and I know you are as well. And it is remarkable how many daytime actors have successfully found their life partners on the job. And Steph, I think you and I are so lucky because we have gotten to hear such sweet stories on this podcast from some of the actors who fell in love with their co-stars. I remember, Katie McLean telling us about how there was kind of an instant chemistry between her and John Lindstrom, GH's Ryan and Kevin, when they crossed paths at All My Children, where she played Dixie and he was there in a directing capacity. But Finola Hughes, pulled him aside because she had a question for him. They are now married. Rebecca Herbst, GH's Liz, told us about how Amber Tamblyn, who used to play Emily, would have her come up to the set with her when she had intimate scenes with Michael Saucedo, ex-Juan, who Rebecca went on to marry. And I'm excited, Steph, to potentially swoon when we talk to our guest today, Camila Banus, aka Daze's Gabby, because Gabby's love life is more complicated than ever. But since we last podcasted with Camila, she became a real life wife.
And she definitely has some great wedding stories to share. Plus, she is really in the thick of things in Salem. So let's check in with her and see what's happening. Hi, Camila.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, we are so happy to talk to you today. So much has happened since the last time we spoke to you, which was in January 2020.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that feels like forever ago.
I know, right?
And different lifetime.
At the time, Gabby was in a little storyline limbo romantically. So Stefan had just been killed off and Jake didn't air for a few months, even though you were already filming with Brandon. So let's go back to that time. And first of all, tell us, what did you think when you heard that Brandon would be playing another role?
Okay. I was excited because I was just like, wait, Stefan dying came out of nowhere. And I don't know if you know this, but I don't really read my scripts often until I have to work. So a lot of the times I'm like finding stuff out either through Brandon telling me the week before, hey, did you read that script? Did you find out what's going to happen? I'm like, no, can you tell me? And then he ends up telling me and I still don't read it until the day of, but it was a total shocker. It was, it was obvious that he had to be in something because he had just been, he hadn't even been there that long. So it just felt like, wait, what's going on? So, it made sense that he would be playing a different character. I then did an eye roll and was like, oh, he's playing a brother. Okay. That's totally soapy. Makes sense. Fans kind of loved it. There was a huge response for Jabby fans out there. So I think people love this like kind of rascal personality with Gabby.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think back on playing Gabby as she was falling for this new brother in this new dynamic, how did you like go about working to make the Gabby Jake dynamic different from the one that she had with Stefan?
Yeah, well, the easy thing about that was that Brandon played Jake so different, completely different from Stefan, that already just within his personality difference, there was a complete different dynamic between him and Gabby. But I also had this other kind of energy that was pushing me, which was that he looked exactly like Stefan. And that was this inner turmoil that she was dealing with on her own. And that's, I think, what made it different, but also the same, because she was like, she knew this wasn't Stefan, but she was looking at him or what she thought was him, because obviously they're the same person. Face-wise. And so it was so hard to not think that was Stefan. And so that, I think, made it be a completely different situation, which made it a different dynamic.
Right.
So now you mentioned Gabby and Jake did have their following. So what were some highlights for you about playing out that story?
I think the highlights were just like the brass, sassy, fun things I got to say to him, just because it was kind of like a really low point in her life where she just was like, well, the love of my life is gone. Here's this other man. Like, I know that's not him, but whatever. I'm going to throw myself at him, see if this works, see if I can just like make my heart stop hurting so badly. So I think that was it.
Now, as part of that whole situation, you got to do some on-screen tangling with Tamara Braun, who plays Ava. Tell us about working with Tamara.
She's just so much fun to work with. She did this to me a few times. It just shows you how committed she is in the scene. We would have a scene where we would be fighting and like bickering back and forth. And then all of a sudden she would just like keep staring at me and not say her line. And then for a second or two, there would be this silence and she would say, oh my God, I was watching you. I'm sorry. I was watching you. I completely was like just watching your performance and I got lost. I'm sorry. And it happened more than once. And she's just so fun and lovely. And she's so committed as an actor. And that just shows you a small example of her commitment and her passion to what she does. And it shows on screen, it shows in her character. And having Gabby and her feud was so much fun. They just had so much to play with and throwing in the situations with Galen and everything. It was just so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you like about the Gabby Ava dynamic? I like it that I feel like Gabby doesn't tangle with a lot of women, or doesn't play with a lot of women. And this was like a good, you know, sparring session that you would have.
Yeah, it was a good opponent. It was definitely met her match. You know, she had this very sassy, you know, woman that came from a criminal background. Basically, Gabby couldn't say, hey, I've been to prison. Ava's got her beat, you know? So she met her equal, she met her match. And I think that's what makes it fun. I think, you know, Gabby and her, especially those fun scenes we have in the kitchen where I'm like throwing food at her and like, you know, calling her food and things like that. So it's just, we get to say some wild things to each other. And I definitely believe the writers had fun with it.
Absolutely. Now, Gabby also had a little fling with Carson Boatman's Johnny. So what was it like for you to work with Carson?
Oh my gosh, Carson's so funny. He's such a Southern gentleman. He's such a pleasure to work with because he's very professional, but he's also very laid back. And just during that whole entire month, there was just so many scenes where he was playing with different people. And I just was telling him, I'm like, dude, I don't know. They're just trying to figure out what to do, where to put you, what we're doing here. And so I think I told him, I was like, that happens sometimes. You know, I even had a storyline where I was kind of like trying to be paired up with the Brady character. And it was like, okay, no. So it just, sometimes they'll do that to us. And it's interesting because these people are our friends, but then we get up there and we have to like start kissing them. It's so awkward, but you know, at the end of the day, it's our job. It's so much fun and everybody makes it really professional. So we have a really great environment.
Mm-hmm. Now also in last year, you got to take part in a special episode that saw the return of Blake Ferris as Nick. So did you ever think you'd work with him again? And what was that like for you?
No, I got a call from him. Not a call. Sorry. I think it was a text, asking me, hey, do you know something that's happening in whatever month? And I said, boy, I don't read the scripts. I do not understand. Do you not know?
I'm notorious. I haven't changed.
Yeah, I'm notorious for not reading the scripts. This is a wrong person to ask. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm coming back for something. I think it's like, you know, one or two episodes. And I was like, all right, well, look out for him. I'm excited. And then finally the day came and I was reading the script and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is so much fun. This is right up his alley, a totally creepy kind of situation and so much fun to play. And you know, the chemistry between Nick and I and Gabby has always been great. Whether it was scary, it's always been great, you know? So I think it was just really nice for the fans to have him come back and play that and incorporate the Jake character as well.
Did it feel like, as they say, riding a bike to work with Blake, or did it really feel like you could sense the passage of time?
Oh, it definitely felt like riding a bike. Like I just, the minute that he started talking, the way he speaks, the way his tone of everything, I was just like, oh my gosh, like it took me back to just those days where we were acting together every single day. And it just was very, it's comfortable. It's just something that was fairly familiar. And as soon as I heard his voice and we started to just even rehearse, I was like at ease. It's always been like that.
Okay, let's talk about Gabby's meteoric rise up the corporate ladder. So did you ever think that when you started like a clothing company that she would be now like a CEO of a huge corporation? And what do you think makes her worthy of this position?
Wow. Definitely when Gabby Chic came into the picture, I did not imagine that Gabby would be a Demera, that she would take the positions that she has been the head of Demera Enterprises at some point, that she has risen Gabby Chic to what it is today. The fact that she holds up her own in a huge board meeting, you know, says a lot about her character, her ambition, her conviction, and how she's grown as a businesswoman. And yeah, you know, it's been a ride. And I think that that's what makes Gabby such a fun character. She's like such a standalone character. I say this often, like, I don't take a credit away from anybody that's in like a super couple situation, but Gabby is such a standalone character. She is like this fierce force where she, you know, and I think there was one time where that's where I saw it the most. We were doing a fan event. I don't remember where it was. We might've been traveling somewhere, but it worked out that there was odd numbers and I was the standalone and everybody was paired in their, you know, prospective, pairing at the moment that was airing. And here I was doing all these interviews and doing everything on my own. And that's when I was like, heck yeah, that is Gabby. She's not afraid to do it alone. She's not afraid to get in there and she doesn't need somebody to hold her hand. She's got this, you know, and that's how she is in the business world. That's how she is with her family. And that's what I've seen like the most growth within her from when I first started. She was this very like shy, scared little girl that couldn't fend for herself, but now she doesn't need anybody to speak for her. She can speak for her and more.
Yeah. Just try to stop her from speaking for herself or speaking her mind. In fact,
that's right. That's right.
So along this route, Remington Hoffman was tapped to come to the canvas in a more meaningful way as Lee, who fell big time for Gabby. So what can you say about Remington as a scene partner?
Remington is awesome. He is quite possibly, I don't know how to explain this because you're going to think this is ridiculous, but he is the most kindest, nicest, gentlest person ever. He, you know, I the best way I could describe is I don't know, maybe a situation where I'm in a hallway and I'm talking to somebody and I'm like, oh, I gotta go get my makeup done. I gotta, you know, I look super tired this morning. I gotta get these dark circles covered up. And then here comes Remington and he'll be like, no, you don't. You look beautiful. You always look beautiful. You're always glowing, Camila. You don't need any makeup. And it's just like, oh, Remington, oh, can we just bottle you up and you everywhere? Oh my gosh. You know, he's just that kind of guy. He's just really nice and more than professional. He, you know, he always wants to work. He's always down to rehearse and a pleasure to work with.
So you're really the veteran of this pairing. Did you share any advice with him or did you have any like words of, you know, like suggestion of this is how we should do it for him or no?
I mean, yes and no. There's always like little things that you pick up here and there, especially watching each other. That's, I think, how we learn the most from each other. Where, for example, I'll say something like a keyword that we use on set and he'll be like, what does that mean? And I'll just, you know, quickly explain it to him. Just like I asked somebody when I first started and I didn't know what that word meant, you know, it's the same kind of thing. We're very much a family atmosphere at Days, but I think we've just, he's kind of just grown as the time has come by. He's gotten thrown so much work, so many words, and so many scenes, and he has taken it like a freaking champ, because let me tell you, working on our show is not easy. You know, I always try to explain to people that don't understand how soaps work, but I would describe it as working 10 times more than a primetime set, as far as the volume of work. And it's just really, really difficult, to kind of take in, especially if you are not used to it. And this is Remington that was coming in for a scene here and there. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, shooting more than 5 episodes a week. And that's a lot. And he's, you know, it's super commendable the way that he's done it. And again, it just shows his level of professionalism that he can take so much parliament, so many words and kind of dominate them because that's what he's done.
When you were new, maybe not even just to Days, but to the genre at One Life, are there people that pop into your head as the people that you would be most likely to say, hey, what does this soap specific technical term mean? And, you know, things like that, that helped you get your own bearings.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I remember for me, my small circle or where I felt really comfortable to speak was to Brittany Underwood. She was like my girl at One Life to Live. And even till now, she was actually just the director on the first lead that I ever did that just aired last week. And the friendship that I cultivated with her at One Life, it was just amazing because I don't know if it was because she was a Latina and she spoke to me immediately in Spanish. And here was this like blonde girl. And I was like, wait, what? Or like, I remember she was redhead or something. Yeah, I think her hair was red. I was like, wait, you speak Spanish? She's like, yeah, I'm Colombian. And I'm like, what? In New York? What is this? This is weird. And so just the fact that she was there, I felt so safe to be able to ask those questions. So, you know, I've always wanted to be that person at Days, and anybody that has joined our show, I've always been that person to knock on the door and say, hey, if you have any question, like big, small, weird, whatever you think it is, just ask me, you know, I'm here. My room number is this number, and come let me know.
That's awesome.
Cause you know, some people tell us that like, they don't really like to engage in that way with new people because they want them, you know, maybe to find their way a little, but I think it's helpful to share that kind of information.
No, super helpful. And I'm not embarrassed to ask either. Even at the point that I'm asked, there's a lot of things that I just don't know. Even in the script, there's a lot of like English, old English sayings that are in the script that I have to look up because I just don't speak in those terms. Or maybe even like business terms that Gabby has to say. And there's a lot of times where I either have to look it up or I'll just ask them a co-star and say, hey, what does this mean? Or even Maria, our stage coach, she's amazing. She's a world of knowledge. And I ask her a lot of stuff.
Now, what do you think attracts Gabby to Lee?
You know, I think there's a level of like power there with Lee. There's like an intoxication of like this opulent life that he leads, you know, that he goes and travels on these jets on a whim. And, you know, he's here today and gone tomorrow. It's kind of like a James Bond of the business Salem world. I mean, as far as like Gabby sees him. And I think she sees like excitement with him. I think she sees somebody that's kind of getting her out of a funk a little bit. And to have nice champagne and expensive shopping sprees isn't bad either.
So in the middle of all of this, right, the show brings Brandon back, this time, once again, as Stefan. Tell us how, I guess, let me guess from reading the script the day of, but tell us how you found out about the character switchback, if you will.
Well, again, it was one of those situations where Brandon, the week before, stopping the hallway, he's like, hey, did you read what's going on? And I'm like, no, what's going on? And he's like, I'm going to die. I'm like, what? You're going to die? He's like, yeah, I'm coming back. Stefan's coming back. And I'm like, oh my God, they're doing it. They're doing what the fans want. Oh my God. Cause you know, for a long time, the fans were asking for Stefan. And I think there was, it became so long that people kind of lost like hope that would happen. And they just kind of joined the Jake bandwagon. They were like, whatever, if this is what we got, then we're going to make it work. And then all of a sudden they're bringing Stefan back. So it was like, hey, well, what is this? We asked for this, but then you didn't give it to us. And now we're here. So it was kind of like a weird situation. Because we were excited to have Stefan back, but we weren't sure how people were going to react, how the storyline was going to work. He has no heart, was on ice for how many years? How does it work? It's a soap opera. It's Days of Our Lives. Welcome to Days of Our Lives. So, you know, we kind of just rolled with the punches. We were excited that, that would happen. We were hoping the fans would like it, and, you know, hopefully, it's working. Hopefully people like it. And I think the fun thing about Gabby and Stefan is this, it's always that chase with them. It's the best part of them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how have you approached Stabby 2.0?
You know, I approached it as Gabby would, full throttle. She went straight for the jugular. She was like, my man's back. She's back. And, you know, my life is going to be great. And sorry, Lee, who? Okay, thank you. And, you know, when he does not reciprocate these feelings, it's like the coyote hitting the wall. You know, it's like, what? in the world, you flip the script on me. And I think that's what makes sense, that if it was easy, if it was just, you know, going straight into his arms and reminiscing in the town square and going into a full on slow-mo kiss, it would be boring, you know, it would be boring. I think there's a time and place for that. I think having this situation, this angst, this obstacle makes sense for Gabby and Stefan. That's what they are, that they're always like this. So to have them go back to their bickering and bantering, it's also what the fans want. It's what we want. You know, it's what we want to see. We want to see that fire, that sassiness, that spiciness. You know, Gabby going in for the slap. Usually there's another one coming in the other arm. So, you know, that's what they are.
Did you have any conversations with Brandon about like what you wanted to bring to this next arc of the Stabby story?
No, actually, we haven't discussed it. We've just kind of been rolling with it, only because at the beginning of it, it seems so we were so separated with having, you know, Chloe in as a character, a very important character in this kind of triangle. And it was very clear that Stefan has nothing and wants nothing to do with Gabby. So as much as Gabby may want to push, she, there was, you know, it's written, there's written obstacles that she just cannot, you know, override. So we've taken this as far as the script is allowing us, you know, so that's why we haven't really planned too much, because we're going on this ride, you know, right now we can't really do too much.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think it means to the fans to have the potential for this couple to get together again?
I think it's awesome in a way, but I think it's also a little divided because of what I said. I think there are people that were standing Stabby for so long and it didn't happen. They lost hope and they kind of fell in love with Jake and Gabby. And those people are, not to say that they don't like Stabby, but they kind of, since they lost hope, it's like, you know, it's disappointing. It's kind of like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe this anymore again, or I don't know if it's going to bring me another disappointment. And so I think there's an element of that, but I think that the fans, the majority of fans that want Stabby back are extremely happy. Of course. Are you kidding me? You know, this is what they've been wanting for. They didn't want the Stefan character to die. I think there's a lot to explore with him. I mean, he's literally Stefano's son, named after him. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of a big deal. And he, I don't think his character got to explore the business side as much as he could. And also, we didn't have the EJ character at the time that Stefan was there. We didn't have them kind of battling it out the way that they can now.
Yeah, that's a good point. It definitely adds some spice to the Demara situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, you mentioned that Chloe is like the third member of this brewing little triangular situation. So what has it been like to get to work more with Nadia Bjorlund, who plays Chloe, and also face off with her?
No, working with Nadia has been amazing. Facing off with her has been awesome because she's she has this like sarcastic, dry humor that plays on screen and off screen. And I think she's just, you know, she's so much fun to play with and work with. And she's so beautiful. Are you freaking kidding me? Looking at her, I'm like Tamara, I get lost. I'm like, oh my God, look at this woman. But she's, you know, she's a wonderful mom and a really great woman to work alongside. And she has a lot of strength and it shows in her performances. And it's really nice to see Gabby kind of have in this love triangle, again, another match, another equal, another somebody that's kind of like meeting her there, not kind of backing down.
Mm-hmm. You know, in general, I find it really interesting that Gabby has not had great success with romance. You know, why do you think that is? And do you care?
I think it stems, maybe it stems from our first relationship with Will. I don't know. No, you know, I don't care because of what I said or previous about how strong she is as a woman. She doesn't need a man. You know, she's gone through situations, I think, especially going through prison for an extensive period of time. I want to say they played it off as like a year and a half or something like that. You know, it changes a person and it changes a person's priorities. And and family is the most important thing to her. And I think she, above all, is about family more than anything. She would take being with her family than being, you know, off somewhere in a vacation with her loved one, just them two. She would rather be at home with family and her loved one. And so it's a situation where, yes, I wish Gabby maybe would have found somebody already and settled down. But again, I find that personally boring. I think those kind of storylines for me are like, whatever, they just kind of have a cap. But there's so much to play where she doesn't settle. She doesn't settle for anybody or anything. She is constantly evolving. She's constantly changing. And, the person that is going to be with her has to know that that's how her life is going to be and has to roll with the punches too.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Now, Gabby may not have had a successful marriage, but happily, you cannot say the same. You tied the knot with your longtime love, Marlon Aquino, last year. Can we hear about the proposal, please?
Thank you. Yeah, for sure. So I, you know, Marlon's also like Gabby. He's a lot about family, and he wanted to make sure that as much family was present at this moment as possible. So he decided on a trip that we were in Miami visiting family for Christmas. I think it was like 5 days before Christmas. It was the 20th of December to get together my entire family at a place that I love, which is an art museum. One of my personal hobbies is to visit museums. I love to be around art. It makes me feel awesome. And so we, you know, I thought it was a regular day of going to the art museum and in Miami. And, you know, at first, actually, what's funny is I didn't want to go because we were in Miami for a couple of days. And I was like, baby, we're going to go to a museum for 2-3 hours. I've already been to this museum. I've already seen all of these exhibits. Actually, it was just about like 6 months ago. And, you know, he was like, Camila, you're so selfish. I haven't been to this museum before, you know? And I said, all right. Go to this stupid museum. So we go to the thing, we park, we're going in there. Of course, I already was like, fine. I was engulfed in the art. I was in love. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, well, we have lunch reservations. And I was like, lunch reservations? That's weird. Okay, well, whatever. We go up to where the lunch is. And he's like, well, before we go to lunch, let's go check out the view. Our table's not ready. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So we go by the water. We walk towards the water. And then all of a sudden he turns me around and he starts telling me, he's like, well, you remember this morning we went to the beach to go say hi to your dad. Cause my dad for me is in the ocean. And so I said, yeah. And he's like, well, he's here with us today right now too. And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like, well, and then he starts like, you know, getting on one knee. And I was like, I love you so much. And all of this, and I honestly like lost sound. I couldn't really even hear what was happening at that point. Like all my senses were like, override. This is too much. And, you know, I just see him like, you know, pulling out a ring. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, are you serious? I was like, he was like, are you freaking serious? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, yes. And as soon as I said yes, I hear a crazy crowd behind him, which I had not seen. Because remember, I had lost complete sight, sound, everything. I was just focused on him. And it was everybody. It was like 20 people, my family, his family, friends that were there just waiting for that moment. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. It was followed by a champagne toast. So it was perfect.
Well, so obviously you were surprised. So how soon did you start your wedding planning afterward?
You know, I actually started pretty soon because I don't like the winter. I'm not like a cold person. I didn't. And so for that reason, I didn't want it to be an super expensive. So I didn't want it to go be somewhere tropical if it was going to be a year later. You know, I didn't want to have some people travel very, very far. So I thought it has to be a summer wedding. And this was December. And I thought, oh, well, summer wedding, that's only 6 months away. That's not a long time unless I make it for a year and a half later. And I didn't want that. You know, we definitely both have older grandparents that we wanted to make sure would be present at our celebration. And so I had to put my thinking caps on in January, and my wedding was in August. So it really wasn't a lot of time. And I thought, I was going to do it all by myself. And I got one consultation with a wedding planner and I said, listen, I already have a book. I had a book of like 30 pages already of research and things that I had done. And she was very impressed. She said, you know, yeah. But then she started talking and I started realizing that I needed a wedding planner. I had first gotten a consultation for her to only be at the actual day for a, you know, extra hand here and there. And no. She's like, you've got 6 months at this wedding and you don't have this, you don't have this, and you don't have that. And I said, no. She goes, are you crazy? So I ended up getting her and with the help of her and, you know, in those 6 months, we were able to make it happen.
So do you feel like she was critical to making that happen? Like, are we glad we hired her?
Oh my God, sweet Marie. I am so happy I hired her, honestly. I had utter chaos occur at my wedding and she allowed me to not implode that day. That's honestly the reason why I did not go bonkers that day was because of her.
Oh, well, oh now, God. Of course, we have to ask what happened.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you. So my wedding was in Joshua Tree and I had gone to this venue because I saw it on HGTV on a commercial. OK, guys, I saw a commercial for it on HGTV and I said, oh, my God, this is a magical place. I want to get married there. But of course, Marlon was like, Camila, you're crazy. Let's go stay a night and see if it's even plausible to make a wedding happen there. All right. So we stayed. Mind you guys, this place is a really cool venue and it's a hotel. They have multiple places that you can stay, but the towers, it's kind of not practical. They're, you know, they don't have a bathroom inside of each tower. They have a small ballroom that it was kind of unfinished at that moment. And then they just have this kind of desert. It's just kind of this free for all. And so, you know, we spoke to the guys and that were the owners and we were saying, we're thinking about having our wedding here. What does that sound like to you guys? And they were super excited. They were like, oh, we've only had one wedding here and it was outside completely, but we're finishing this ballroom. This ballroom will be complete. And, you know, we have a sound ordinance at 10 p.m. in Joshua Tree. So, you know, after 10 p.m., you guys could go in the ballroom and party till whatever time you want. You know, we've tested it because we've had parties here and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we were sold. We visited in the 6 months, we visited like at the 3 month mark just to do another scout with my planner. We stayed the night and we showed her the progress and there was progress, but you know, the progress was kind of in the midway where there was still fiberglass, like kind of stuck in the walls. There was insulation and stuff like that. There some panels didn't have, you know, sheetrock or, you know, they weren't.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Done at all. So we were, you know, there was piles of trash and we were like, okay, well, hopefully in 3 months, this will be done. They promised us. Oh my God. Two days before my wedding, we all drove down to Joshua Tree. I live in Los Angeles, so it was 2 hours away. As I'm cheerfully driving towards Joshua Tree, my planner calls me and said, Camila, don't freak out. We will fix this.
A good start.
Yes. She said, we'll fix this. But do you remember when we came for the 3 month walkthrough? And I said, yes. She goes, do you remember how the ballroom looked? And I said, yes. She goes, that is exactly how it looks right now.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I'm dreaming. This is a nightmare. Like I was like, somebody wake me up. This is not real. And that's what ended up happening. Apparently, you know, they gave us some like excuse that a couple of their workers got COVID and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, the excuses didn't matter because my wedding was going to happen in 2 days. And we had a ballroom full of trash with insulation that was visible. and exposed wires and nails that were exposed as well. And not only that, but, you know, they had promised us all these lights outside so that we would be able to have dinner outside. And none of that was done. So at that point, my wedding planner was like, well, should we find a hall? Should we just find a hall and do the ceremony outside and then like escort everybody to the hall? And this, guys, this is in the middle of nowhere in Joshua Tree. Okay. Like, I'm talking about nowhere. There's a Walmart and a Dollar Tree and a KFC and a Burger King and then a couple other small businesses. And that's it. So there was no hall. The closest hall was Palm Springs, which was like an hour and 20 minutes away. So I was like, no, we're going to bite the bullet. And I had a couple of words with the gentleman that owned the venue. And they were like, listen, I have hundreds and hundreds of rolls of this thick white canvas that I'm going to, with a pressure machine, pressure punch onto the walls. And it's not going to look like anything. It's going to look like white walls at night. And I said to him, I don't care what the hell you do. Just freaking do it. And this is a nice version. I was like, please just do it. And at that point, my planner went into full on action mode. She went to the Walmart, she went to Palm Springs, to like TJ Maxx, the Marshalls, everywhere she could to find like pillows and like little comforters and like little blankets that she could like put up on areas that weren't like covered. She just made it work. I mean, honestly, it was the turnaround from the next day when we walked in there. And of course, like in the daylight, you could see that they were panels of canvas. But honestly, at night with the DJ lights, with it being dark, we made it work, but it was still so, it wasn't what you have in mind. You know, it wasn't what you plan. It wasn't what you've been thinking about this entire time. So, you know, thank God for her. I will say this 100 times for anybody that is having a wedding over 50 people, get a planner because it will save you. We'll always have something go wrong.
Oh my goodness.
I can't believe that they waited that like 2 days before you still didn't know. That's crazy.
I know.
What was going to happen when you arrived? I guess what happened, but
yeah, those were the words I was having with the gentleman. I was like, how could you not tell us that this wasn't getting done? Heck, I would have gone looking for workers for you to, I don't know. We were just trying to find solutions, you know,
easier solutions than like right then.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, what did your dress look like and how did you choose it?
So I had this whole wonderful appointment with this really great, dress company in Pasadena. And I thought it was going to be amazing and have my girls there. We were in the middle of COVID, guys. We were in the middle of COVID and I was only able to bring one person. So I brought my mom and my dog. And so we went up there and I had this one designer in mind that was very bohemian. And I had this one dress. And when I saw it, I immediately thought of the venue. It worked perfectly with the venue. And I thought it was going to just be brilliant. But when I tried it on, the amount of fringes it had made it weigh down so much that it didn't have the movement it had in all the photos. And it kind of ruined the vibe for what I wanted. So I was kind of like stuck and I was like, well, what do I do? What do I do? And all of a sudden my mom, she always comes to the aid. She's like, Camila, look at that dress. It's full of stars. You're a star. And I'm like, Mom, what do you mean? And she's like, look at it. It's gold and bronze and silver stars, appliques everywhere on tulle. And I was like, oh my gosh, it is pretty. She goes, think of it at night in Joshua Tree. I was like, oh, Mom, stop romanticizing it. And so she just, you know, went on and on and on. And I was like, okay, well, if I get this dress, because it was kind of like this tan colored, the tulle. So it wasn't necessarily a white dress. I said, Mom, if I get this dress, I still have to get a white dress. I want to wear a white dress for my wedding, for my ceremony. She's like, well, I don't know, Camila. I still like this one for the ceremony too. I'm like, no, I know that you're avant-garde and you're contemporary and all this. And I was like, but I want a white dress, damn it. So I bought this dress and I was content with, you know, whatever, wearing it, but I still always would go and look online the months to follow and think, man, if there's something on sale I could find that would be white, that would work, that would be perfect. And I kept manifesting. And one day I was on the David Bridal's website and I see a Vera Wang bohemian off the shoulder with sleeves that were removed. dress, kind of ball gown, but not too huge, with like this pattern underneath of this tulle. And I thought, oh my God, it's beautiful. And I said, it's $112. How could that be? That makes no sense. So I said, all right, well, let me go see. Oh, they have one near me. Okay, let me go. So I go over to David's Bridal. I get there and she says, well, honey, we have it in a size 16. And I said, oh God. So I said, let me just try it on to see what it even looks like, because maybe I don't even like it. You know, maybe once I see it in front of me, I'm not going to like the way that it is. And the cups on this size 16, one cup fit in my whole middle chest. It was all covering the one chest. And I was like, how is this going to work? Like, I had to imagine how this was going to be. And they were trying to clip it in the back or whatever. And I just said to myself, I don't know why this is going to work in my size. I know in a size 2, this is going to work. So they were looking, they found it in a size 2, and they said, well, listen, it's going to arrive in around 2 weeks. I said, get it, order it. And here comes my sister, the coupon queen. Camila, I have a 30% off coupon. The dress ended up being like $90
My
wedding dress. And I just, it was the perfect dress for the perfect venue. It was super bohemian, super perfect for the desert. It ended up just working out perfectly. And it was a Vera Wang dress, which was one of the designers that I wanted for my ceremony dress. So it worked out.
Oh, it was all meant to be, clearly. Okay, so tell us, how is married life?
Oh, it's great. Can't you see? I got my husband snoring here in the backyard. Like, I got to just deal with this snoring and I just got to take it. No, it's amazing. It's honestly like Marlon, we were together for 10 years before we decided to get married. And I think that was such an amazing foundation for the friendship that we have now. I mean, we lived together before we got married, so we knew what that was going to be like. And honestly, you know, even these last 2 years, I think bigger than marriage has been surviving COVID. I mean, surviving the pandemic, to me, it was going to be like, you either make it or break it in the couple situation, you know? And I saw a lot of couples break, but I saw a lot of couples make it. And the ones that made it are very solid. I think that kind of brought another level to their relationship. You know, being stuck together at home and not being able to kind of leave. It also is a scary situation for people that are in abusive situations. Honestly, I can see it in that aspect too. But for us, it was really rewarding and really amazing because it brought us together to a level that we didn't even know we could go to. And from there, we've been growing and learning from each other. And, you know, Marlon in general is a really supportive person and boyfriend and now husband. So I'm just really, really grateful.
We love that for you.
Well, the first thing I made Camila do when I saw her at the Day of Days was show me your hand. You're beautiful. But speaking of the Day of Days, you just were there. It was back for the first time in person since 2019. So tell us about the experience.
Yeah, you know, it was amazing to feel that energy again, that there's like a specific, like, electric energy in the room when it's Day of Days, the morning, the day, even through lunch. It's just like having people there that support what you do, that love what you do, that love the stories you're involved in, that root for you is so powerful. I was just like, you know, it's intoxicating when you're there being around the fans. I just want to get up and hug and kiss everybody. And some people that don't even want me to kiss them, I'm like, come over here, everybody. Spend some time with us. Thank you for watching the show. People that go to this event that tell me that they've been watching for 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, or even this one guy that I met this time around said, listen, last year I picked up your show. I haven't been able to put it down. You know, it's just something that is so extremely rewarding. And God, I wish that I could bottle that, like, that gratefulness that I have up and be able to, like, spread it around, because it is so wonderful how I feel when I'm around the fans of the show, when I'm at this event. Even for me, like, I get giddy when I see the trailer, you know, of the preview that's coming, getting to see the day players perform 4 songs. Like, I was on live the entire time, like, fangirling on the corner. That's just, it's just so much, it's so much fun. And I was telling Dan, that was my partner throughout the whole day, I was like telling him, we work so hard. We have so much pressure on our daily basis. We are shooting these, like, really dramatic circumstances and sometimes, like, these hateful things that we get to say. And here we are on a Saturday, not having to worry about learning lines, without having my script in front of me, not having a camera pointed at me as far as like, you know, you're on and having to do what you got to do as your character. And it's that pressure. You don't feel that. And you're just there to have fun and enjoy and soak it all in and talk to people and engage and interact. It's honestly such a wonderful day. And I am so grateful for the people that put it together, because I know it's not an easy feat. And I know that it's not cheap. So I'm just really grateful that they leave aside a budget for that to happen, because it means a lot to not only the fans, but to us.
That's awesome. And it's such a great event. So sadly, the Days of Our Lives cast knew that John Aniston had passed away the day before the Day of Days. What memories come to mind that you can share with us about John?
Yeah. You know, I will tell you this, business makes a lot of people bitter throughout their existence, especially a lot of men. It makes them very tough. It makes them very rough. It makes them very hard in the exterior. And John was not like that. John was a freaking teddy bear. And I was always kind of in awe whenever he was around. I'm very boisterous and loud and I have a lot of energy, but when he was around, I felt like I needed to just like observe and like let him take command of the room and the situation. And it wasn't because he was commanding. I just wanted to like watch him and hear exactly every single word that was coming out of his mouth, because there was always a funny joke. That's something that has been, it's funny because I think about it and I'm like, that is something that in my memory is always that he would always say a joke, but then I hear all these people say the exact same thing. And that's just how he was. You know, he always had a dirty joke or some inappropriate thing to say in a really low key way that would just kind of like come out of nowhere. And you're just like sitting there in that energy, you're just like, okay, John, that's where we're at right now. Okay. and in that same energy, that's why he was such a pleasure to be around and work with. He made the stuffiness of the room kind of go away. He was that guy that is this icon, but it was just this like down to earth dude, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we're going to miss him very much. I know definitely I am, especially if the few times I got to work with him, it was always very rewarding for me. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like everyone kind of had the same experience with him in terms of his sense of humor, for sure. And now you are a few months into shooting A Days that is being produced for Peacock, but you had already had experience working with Peacock. So tell us about doing Beyond Salem Chapter 2.
You know, it was just so much fun because we get to do Days. We get to do the regular sets that are there, and they're awesome. They're the classic iconic sets. But when we get to do these kind of like out of the box storylines where you're in Hong Kong and, you know, I don't remember exactly where they were, but I don't know, really Hanado, but all these crazy locations where we replicate them at this really like big scale, you get to see, to be honest with you, you get to see the amount of money that's invested. And it's really nice to see. It makes you feel like this is really important, that this is really exciting. The energy of the room is there. We have tons of extras, 10 more than we would have on a regular day. It's just like, feels like Christmas, honestly. And that's what those series have been. They have been like, kind of like this Days explosion affair where we get to play out these fantastical storylines that we don't normally get to play on Days. And we have these odd pairings that we don't normally pair as well. And so it's just fun to be able to kind of work outside of our box. I always go back to that episode a long time ago where it was, like a parody of all the Oscar nominees, because when we do get to work outside of the box, it works because we're all so great in different aspects. We work so well for comedy. We work so well in horror. We all have worked in different genres. And so I think it's amazing when we get to play beyond our box.
Now, obviously, Peacock is your professional home, you know. How did you react to that news? And is there anything different in terms of like your experience, would you say, working on the Days that's, you know, streaming specific, if you will?
Difference? No. Difference, like I was telling people at Day of Days, we had a meeting with our executive producer Albert. And, you know, he said something that it just, it's very clear. It's the same show, same people, same thing. We're shooting the exact same way. Nothing's going to change. And that's pretty much how it's been for us. I know there's a lot of people that have made comments about like, oh my God, well, the show's going to be completely different because now they can, you know, get away with a lot more. Well, yes and no, we can. We can get away with a lot more. It doesn't mean we will. You know, at the end of the day, I think the true values of the show are still there. And I think that that's something that can, the writers want to still play within the show.
Well, circling back to Brittany Underwood, you just worked with her in a Christmas movie that she directed, Sweet Navidad. So tell us about that experience.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So first of all, I love Brittany Underwood so much. Like I said, she was to me like a sister, a cousin, like family when I lived in New York, which was kind of a troubling time for me. And so when I found out that she was getting into directing, it was because we were working on a film together as both actresses. And I was telling her, I was like, oh my gosh, you would be amazing at directing because she has attention to detail. She is very educated. She's just, I see her perfectly as a director. She has so much energy for it and it works perfectly for her. And so I was super on board and super excited. And so she's, you know, she's telling me here and there. And all of a sudden, a couple months later, she calls me up and she's like, listen, Camila, I know that this is kind of far-fetched because your schedule's crazy. I know they don't let you do anything. Like I told you guys, we shoot year round. We don't really get around to, you know, working on other things because it's hard. Schedules, it's hard to shoot maybe a whole movie in 1 week during our hiatus week. That's tough, you know? So she says, I know this is kind of impossible, but I can't get this out of my head. The script, it's you. It's you, Camila. Like I can't, it has to be you. Is there any way that we make this happen? And I said to her, well, send me the script. I want to know what's going on. Like, what would it, yeah. I mean, if you think I trust you. So if you think it's me, then I will even make this work before reading the script. I don't care what it is. Like, let's just do it. And so we kind of fought back and forth. And I said to my manager, I was like, I really want to make this work. It would be my first lead. It's a Christmas movie. It's a Latino Christmas movie. Come on, let's do this. And so, you know, we kind of fought back and forth with days on a couple of days there because it was kind of in between shooting. And it worked out. There were a couple of days where I had to shoot half days at Days of Our Lives. And then I would go straight to shoot Sweet Navidad till late at night. But, you know, I was super grateful that Days of Our Lives let me do it because having Brittany as the director of my first lead was beyond a dream that I could even, it was like having, you know, Remington having me answer the questions that I thought were silly or whatever. Like I could ask her anything. And that was the best position to be in as the lead because it was my first time. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And it was perfect. She did such a good job. I just saw the movie 3 days ago. It's so freaking cute. Maybe it's because I had low expectations. You never know what it's going to be when you're putting it together. So it just came out so much better than what I thought it was going to be. And if you guys like Christmas, I highly recommend it because it's a great Christmas movie.
Well, Camila, first of all, I'm so proud of both of you. It's so awesome. And secondly, where people like Christmas and like you and like her, where can they find this movie?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to say yet, but first of all, you can find it on Lifetime. We are going to be launching on another app, but I haven't done an interview. I'm going to be doing an interview coming up about another app that it could be launched on that a lot of people that watch Days can watch it. So yes, yeah. So it will be all the month of December on this other app that a lot of people can watch, but it's also on Lifetime right now. You can watch it on Lifetime. I know they've replayed it twice on their regular cable streaming. No, they've played it 3 times, but you could watch it anytime on their app as well.
Oh, excellent. Now, Camila, it's hard to imagine, but you joined the show in 2010, and here we are 12 years later. So first question, who do you think has grown and changed more, you or Gabby?
Wow. I really don't think that one is more than the other. I think we both honestly have gone through a lot because, you know, well, I haven't been through prison. I'm going to say maybe
that changes you, Camila. Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to say a little bit more Gabby. She's gone through a little bit more trauma. But as far as growth, I think the both of us have grown so much. I mean, I remember when I first came in, I wasn't even 21 yet. I was 20 years old. I remember our first meet and greet. I wasn't allowed to have alcohol at our dinner.
Oh, wow.
And I was just surrounded by all these like big people, and I was just mesmerized. I remember I barely spoke. I felt like I couldn't. I didn't know them. You know, I was such a newbie, and I wasn't like putting myself out there. I felt very timid. And now it's so different. This is my family. I can't even imagine me being timid or shy around them at all. These are my people. These are the people that understand what I go through every single day. And for Gabby too, she's gone through the most with all of these people. You know, they are her family. They are the people that she protects and loves. And so I think the growth has been tremendous for both of us, has been monumental. It's been 12 years.
12 years of growth. Now, Camila, Gabby is the sole Latina Latinx female, in Salem and representing that on the canvas of Days of Our Lives. Is that something that you give thought to? And if so, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
100%. I give thoughts to that a lot. And a lot of people don't like what I have to say about it, because I will tell you this. The Latino community, especially in Hollywood, as much as they would like to say that they are inclusive, that they include others and this and that, and they are open and they love everybody, they don't. And I will tell you why. Actions speak louder than words. I have represented Latinos on daytime television for 12 years. I and my management have personally submitted paperwork, because you can't submit paperwork, but I have submitted requests to go to Latino award shows, not even to be, you know, nominated, just to attend these shows as a guest. My invites and my requests have been denied.
Wow.
Without explanation. And it's heartbreaking, because I feel like it's cool to be in that group and say that you include everybody when you really don't. Because here's somebody that actually has been representing Latinos, and I do it a lot. I try to speak Spanish whenever is not even written in the scripts. You know, I put in as much as I can my Latino-ness into Gabby. Because I think that's important. You know, I feel like I have pushed for that. And again, I don't feel like I have been allowed to enter that circle. Even when I have asked, please let me in, let me know. I want to be in that circle. I would like to, you know, help. I would like to represent. I would like to, it has not been available to me. And that I think is very unfortunate. I think it's a very sad thing. I think I still push it. I still continue my journey in that aspect. But, you know, I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just not part of the select few that are allowed to be in that circle. But I do so again with Gabby as much as I can. When I'm on at the Emmys, I represent as much as I can. As a public figure, I represent as much as I can. In general, I try to encourage my heritage. Even just now, we did a really wonderful video for Latino Heritage with Days, where, you know, I got to explain a lot about my Cuban culture and stuff like that. So it was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, Days certainly does let you shine. And, you know, Gabby is not only on the show after 12 years, but featured so heavily in storyline. You know, what does that mean to you?
I mean, honestly, like it's beyond and on, because first of all, to have them say, okay, Camila is really good with memorizing. She can handle a lot of words. She can handle, you know, lots of paragraphs. That's one thing. But like you said, to be incorporated in so many storylines, to have interactions with people that have been on the show for so long, that are icons, that I get to learn and be around all the time, is an honor. You know, I am, I'm just a little Guanita girl from Miami that lived and grew up behind a bakery. And that's how I see myself every day when I look in the mirror. To be on such an iconic show, it makes me feel so proud that I can tell my family, like, hey, we're doing what you set out to do. You know, my family
came to this country, wanting to come to this country for 13 years, putting an application into a lottery for 13 years for a long time, hoping that they could come to the American dream. And to see my grandparents, see their granddaughter, you know, turn on the television and she's in the box is amazing. Like, that to me is like the dream. I remember telling my mom when I was little, like, I want to be in the box. I want to be inside the box with those people. How do I get in that box? And I was watching the Christmas movie the other day, and I was alone in my apartment. And I was just like, I'm here washing dishes and I'm in the box. What the heck is going on? Like, this is crazy. Like, this is what I dreamed about. And then this is what I have fought for 30 years, for a long time.
That's so awesome. Well, before we let you go, given that it is Thanksgiving week, what would you say you are most grateful for when you reflect on your 12-year day's journey?
I am so grateful for the men and women that are part of the crew of Days of Our Lives. They are some of the hardest working people. I get emotional talking about them because some of these guys are like my second dads, my uncles. They protect us, in even as like cameramen, as boom operators, in a way that you have no idea. They care about us. They celebrate us. And I have grown to love the cast and crew, wardrobe department, makeup artists, like my family. I vent to these people. I laugh with these people. I cry with these people. And I do it every day, year round. It doesn't happen just for 3 months or 6 months. We're there year round. And it's, you know, I'm just very grateful for their spirits. I never see anybody in a bad mood. They always bring me up. They're always in awe of what we do, just as I am in awe of what they do. So I'm just very grateful and very thankful for the crew of our show.
Well, Camila, what a beautiful way to end it. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, wonderful. And we appreciate all your time today and for chatting with us again.
Of course. Thank you so much and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. And a very happy holiday season as well.
Happy holiday season to you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to Camila Bowness for being our guest. If you like this podcast, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to pick up a new issue on sale now and come back again for another podcast.